The Arch-Chancellor waved his hands desperately. "Wait," he said. "You can't just go like that. I command you to stay." "What service? What does it all mean? Who are you?" The hood turned back towards him and said, "We are nothing." "Well, that's no help. What is your name?" "We are Oblivion." The figure vanished. The wizards fell silent. The frost in the octagram began to sublime back into air. "Oh, oh," said the bursar. "Short transitional period?" "Is that what this is?" said the dean. The floor shook. "Oh, oh," said the bursar again. "That doesn't explain why everything is living a life of its own," said the senior wrangler. "Hold on, hold on," said Ridcully. "If people are coming to the end of their life and leaving their bodies and everything, but death isn't taking them away, then that means they're queuing up here," said the dean, "with nowhere to go." "Not just people," said the senior wrangler. "It must be everything, everything that dies." "Filling up the world with life force," said Ridcully. The wizards were speaking in a monotone, everyone's mind running ahead of the conversation to the distant horror of the conclusion.
"Hanging around with nothing to do," said the lecturer in recent runes.
"Ghosts.
Poltergeist activity.
Good grief." "Hang on, though," said the bursar, who'd managed to catch up with events. "Why should that worry us? We don't have anything to fear from the dead, do we? After all, they're just people who are dead. They're just ordinary people. People like us."
The wizards thought about this. They looked at one another. They started to shout all at once. No one remembered the bit about suitable candidates. Belief is one of the most powerful organic forces in the multiverse. It may not be able to move mountains exactly, but it can create someone who can. People get exactly the wrong idea about belief. They think it works back to front. They think the sequence is first object, then belief. In fact, it works the other way. Belief sloshes around in the firmament like lumps of clay spiraling into a potter's wheel. That's how gods get created, for example. They clearly must be created by their own believers, because a brief resume of the lives of most gods suggests that their origins certainly couldn't be divine. They tend to do exactly the things people would do if only they could, especially when it comes to nymphs, golden showers, and the smiting of your enemies. Belief creates other things. It created death. Not death, which is merely a technical term for a state caused by prolonged absence of life, but death, the personality. He evolved, as it were, along with life. As soon as a living thing was even dimly aware of the concept of suddenly becoming a non-living thing, there was death. He was death long before humans ever considered him. They only added the shape and all the scythe and the robe business to a personality that was already millions of years old. And now he had gone. But belief doesn't stop. Belief goes right on believing. And since the focal point of belief had been lost, new points sprang up. Small as yet, not very powerful. The private deaths of every species, no longer united but specific. In the stream, black-scaled, swam the new death of mayflies. In the forests, invisible, a creature of sound only, drifted the chop-chop-chop of the death of trees. Over the desert, a dark and empty shell moved purposefully half an inch above the ground. The death of tortoises. The death of humanity hadn't been finished yet. Humans can believe some very complex things. It's like the difference between off the peg and bespoke. The metallic sounds stopped coming from the alley. Then there was a silence. It was the particularly wary silence of something making no noise. And finally there was a very faint jangling sound disappearing into the distance.
"Don't stand in the doorway, friend. Don't block up the hall. Come on in."
Windle Poons blinked in the gloom. When his eyes became accustomed to it, he realised that there was a semicircle of chairs in an otherwise rather bare and dusty room. They were all occupied. In the centre, at the focus, as it were, of the half-circle, was a small table at which someone had been seated. They were now advancing towards him with their hand out and a big smile on their face.
"Don't tell me, let me guess.